This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey there, welcome to episode 594 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Welcome to the recap, the sales gems from my conversation that went live this week with Greg Zippy from BYU. And as I say with all of these episodes, all of these guest conversations in the moment and then in the recap, such a fascinating, interesting path and approach that Greg has coming from a world of selling for so long and not necessarily on any kind of track towards academia. In fact, what's interesting about him is he basically retired and has no need to work, right? Like, he wants to do it because he wants to do it, but he doesn't need to do it, right? Like, from an income standpoint, which I think is always a fascinating difference for people, is when they do something because they want to and they're choosing to, instead of any kind of obligation or have to, or if I don't do this, then what's going to happen to me? And it really changes the energy on it. But what I love about him is that he decided to get into it because when he was in industry, when he was running companies on the sales side, what he found is he would hire people from students, graduates from the local universities there in Utah, in the Salt Lake City area. And I believe he said there were three different schools that he would hire from. And literally, they knew nothing about sales. They had no idea what they were doing, and they were not prepared for anything in any sales role, anything complex sales. Like, they weren't trained. They weren't educated. They had no idea what they were doing. And so it's fascinating when he saw that need and said, this is a challenge. These people don't know what they're doing. Although they went to a school to theoretically learn something about sales, they don't know what they're doing. And so instead of just complaining about it or giving up, he thought after he finished working, kind of retired, was, let me go solve this, right? Let me go improve this. Let me make the world a better place instead of just complaining about it. And that's obviously a good lesson for anybody in life, is that if you see something that frustrates you, challenges you, something you view as an injustice or something that's wrong in the world or something that's just not working, is, are you sitting around complaining? Are you pointing fingers? Are you withdrawing? Are you going the other direction? Or is there something you can do to change it? Can you make a difference in that realm and fix something? And that's where a lot of companies are started and a lot of entrepreneurs begin, is because they see a need in the market, something that's missing, something that people are frustrated with, challenged with, or something that's just not working like it's supposed to. And then they build a solution for that. Now, sometimes the founders and people who begin companies and create a solution, a product, a service, whatever that looks like, they're doing it because of what they think the market needs and what they think the problem is. And there's not always a product market fit, as it's called, where the market, the buying public, doesn't actually want it or need it. And the founder is in love with it, but there isn't just a need. And there's so many of those that start and stop and come and go, where they built it for themselves. They didn't build it for what people wanted. And I know that I have gone through that cycle over the last 4 years as well, where it's like, oh, I think the world needs this and I'm seeing this problem, but it's not what people actually want. Or they don't want to fix that thing with their sales team, or they don't want to do X, Y, and Z. And the education, the barrier to entry just becomes too difficult. Versus finding a need in the market and what things are looking, what people are looking for, and they're raising their hand trying to solve, and then solving that. And that's what Greg did when he went back to school, when he went into the teaching role, and is helping the sales program. And so I think that's interesting. And what I love about it, in the first part that we were talking about with authenticity, you know, part of his path, but talking about the sales process and how much it has changed. And it's, you know, it was all about the relationship. It's still about the relationship, but now it's about the relationship and bringing value. People want value. I think one of the interesting things is we can say that people are busy, they have short attention spans, they're overwhelmed, and I think all of that is true. And what somebody wants is, hey, if you're going to take my time, or you want me to listen to you, it better be valuable, which is the key. If I'm going to give you some time, I want some value. And I think that's where sales has really changed from what it used to be, which is I'm just going to build a relationship, I'm going to explain, I'm going to talk to you, and now people want some value and then they want some guidance. And I think that's really important for sales. In the second part, we talked about persuasion, right? The intentional act of having a sales process to move the right people forward. And, you know, obviously he spoke about the fact that pre-internet, it was straight into the questions, right? Let me just ask you questions and then let me help you, versus where he was saying, you know, putting your hypothesis out there and trying to help people in that way. One of the biggest things, and this has been a theme in a couple of the conversations so far with these professional sales educators, is selling the way people want to buy, how the prospect sees it, not your way that you want to sell, right? Not your suspect to prospect to pipeline to what your CRM says and your different groups, but really, how do they want to buy? What is the decision-making process, which is always fundamentally the same, but what do they want? How do they want to buy? And then how do you meet them where they are? And then he said something that was interesting is, are they asking me questions? Are they being proactive? Is that prospect, is that potential client asking questions? Because then that means they're interested. If you're doing all the talking and you're doing all the pushing, or you're doing all the explaining, or you're even doing all the question asking, then that person may or may not be completely bought in. And if that's the case, you might get them enrolled and then they might change their mind. And so always make sure and look out for, are they asking me questions? And not just the classic like buying questions, but are they asking any questions? Because that means they're interested, they're curious, maybe they're afraid, but definitely enough that they want to ask and find out more. Don't always just look for the buying questions, which is the classic thing that salespeople are taught. Like if somebody asks about price and contract terms and, you know, this and that, like, yes, there are buying questions, but any question is valuable because that means A, they are engaged, they are somewhat involved. And if you listen carefully, those questions will tell you what they're really thinking and they're really worrying about, or you just ask them, why did you ask that question? Why is that important to you? Why, you know, what brought that to mind? Do it in an empathetic way. I call it empathetic reversing instead of just the classic reversing of answering a question with a question. But if you listen closely, you can find out a lot about where their mindset is and then how to help them and why you want to move them forward. I love what Greg talked about as well in the second episode, which is when I asked him why people don't buy. And he said, typically it's because salespeople skip steps and they're sloppy. They're not following a process. They're not going through the proper steps of persuasion and a sales process. And because they're skipping steps, he says that's why people don't buy. And I completely agree. I think there's a fundamental level of why people don't buy, which is they're afraid and they're afraid of change. And there is a proper way to move them out of that fear and get them away from that and to embrace change. And when you skip steps, you're trusting that they know how to get themselves out of that fearful place and accept buying your product or service. And when you skip steps, you leave it all on them and you're missing out. If you follow the steps, you will have a very high rate of success in moving that person forward and then, you know, hopefully getting them to buy or figuring out how to get them to buy potentially in the future, as long as you know that it's a good fit. But absolutely love it. Don't skip steps. Don't be sloppy. So many people in sales hate scripts, hate sales processes. They get into sales because they just want to do what they've done for so long in their life, which is talk people into things, talk people out of things, whatever that is. Like they just want to use that talking ability and their charisma and that sales side, which is why most people think that you have to be a natural born salesperson, because that's the kind of person who is convincing and persuasive and influential and can talk people into and out of things or themselves into and out of things. And I would say that that person is not really who people like to buy from, because that person is going to lean all on that and also not have a process and skip steps, or their steps are going to be focused on themselves as a salesperson and usually on, you know, moving people forward, pushing people, manipulating, tricking, whatever that looks like. And again, this is what Greg was talking about, where people don't buy because somebody skips steps or they're sloppy, and not giving them what they want, like what that customer wants. And I think that is so important. In the final part, when we talk about the future of sales, is that you've got to focus on what people want, what they think they want, that potential buyer. And he said what was interesting is not reaching out earlier. So somebody doesn't know what they want or that they even need some help, and you're reaching out too early in the process, and you have to either convince them in a Sandler way that you have to take a healthy person and then make them realize they're sick and then solve their problem by making them feel so much pain that they are begging for help, which, again, there's some people who are delusional and their head's in the sand and they don't realize that everything is on fire or that they need help. But to do that at scale is so difficult and painful, and it just takes a lot of effort. Versus where's that balance of where somebody wants some help, they think they want something, they think they need some help, and then you're reaching out at the right time. You also got to be careful of where people want, like buyers are wanting a commodity, where they're self-diagnosing, where they're focusing on what they think they need, and then where you come into, right? And that's what they want more of, right? They want to self-diagnose, they want commodities. We all, like, I'm just going to say, like, most people want to solve their own issues or find something without the risks of interacting with a salesperson and getting talked into something they don't need, or they just want an effortless, smooth, frictionless process of, like, just like on Amazon, right? I could go to the store, I could go buy this, I could do this, I could do lots of research, or I could just go on Amazon and order it and then get it sent to me and not have to do any of that, right? And that's what people are used to. And the last bit that he talked about, which I loved, was cold calling. He was talking about cold calling, and he says that that's a phrase that most people misuse. Yes, there are ways to build lists and just get a long list of businesses or consumers and get those names and just call them, but that doesn't work at scale. I mean, you're just trying to hit everybody and play that numbers game. Instead, most of the time what happens if you're doing it in a different way is you're actually getting a list of people who had some interaction with something, raised their hand in some way, and then you're doing those calls and following up on that. Even if you're building the list or they're buying the list, it's somebody who did something to get on that list if you're doing it correctly. And then that's now a warmer call. And so there's a big distinction between a pure cold call and then what most companies are actually doing, which is a warm-ish type of call. And I think that's important, especially in the future of sales where people don't like cold calls. They're not going to respond to cold calls. It's really a painful exercise for the salespeople on the team and for the people that you're calling, because now it's just a pure numbers game and that's a grind. And there's so much failure that even when it's successful, it's tough to scale that, right? Okay, I get one in 100 to answer. Like, at what cost of everyone involved? Just so difficult. So I think that's important in the future of sales and adjusting that and really, you know, understanding that people are overwhelmed, people are busy, people are going to be more guarded at scale. And so how do you focus on the right people? Hopefully this helped. Hopefully you got some value from this. As I say always, please make sure to share these podcasts, engage with them, interact with them. Make sure to check out the YouTube channel. Just search Jason Cutter on YouTube. Check out the videos, share them. Let's just get more of this out in the world. You know, kind of like I said in the beginning, where Greg went to BYU, you know, after his career ended because he wanted to solve a problem that wasn't being solved prior to him being there, which was people weren't getting training. He saw that. Let's help change the way sales is done in general. And if you can share this, if you can interact with it, if you can get more people involved with shifting how they do sales and taking cues from these kind of conversations, these guests that I have on the podcast, it's going to make a huge difference, right? Like, it's, you know, that butterfly effect, or, you know, that pebble in the pond causing ripples and, you know, all of that. Like, you don't know where it's going to go, but let's just do everything that we can to change the way sales is done. And as always, I appreciate you being here, and thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.